Well, let's welcome back our guest. It's Michael Skipa. He is with alcoholjustice.org. And right now we are talking about powdered alcohol gets a green light from the feds. You might not have heard about this. I didn't even know it existed until today. And I saw a big picture on, I was looking at a big news website, and there it looked, I said, oh, well, there, somebody's got a big picture of a pile of cocaine sitting there. No, it's powdered alcohol. And I thought, oh my, well, This is going to be a hot topic.
This nation is in for trouble.
Yes, yes. So welcome back, and thank you for holding on, Michael. I do appreciate it. Obviously, you're worried about kids getting their hands a hold of this and abusing it.
Well, we are, because the evidence is pretty clear. I mean, there are tragic health, social, and economic problems resulting from underage alcohol use. And in California, those problems are enormous and add up to billions of dollars a year. And many kids are never going to make it to 34 because they're consuming substances which are far from benign.
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to that bath, you know, the whole bath salts phenomenon and mess.
Yeah. Yeah. There's attractiveness to this product, you know, that really speaks to young people. And it's not a benign substance. No alcohol product is a benign substance, but especially this one. Because even at moderate levels, you know, it'll cause a variety of harm, the scope of which apparently goes largely unrecognized by the general public and policymakers alike. So what we're trying to do at Alcohol Justice is keep the policymakers informed.
Yeah.
On our website, we're tracking legislation in every state where powdered alcohol is in the crosshairs. And thank God, a lot of states are looking at it from a public health and safety perspective and not how can we make money off of this by taxing it, which seems to be California's perspective on most alcohol. But we're hopeful a champion will arise at some point.
Right.
We'll see that this is, in fact, a legitimate product that requires special controls.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. So, of course, we're all worried about the children, but let's talk about adults. And here's what I'm curious about the alcohol and the powdered alcohol. Can you smell it on one's breath?
Good question.
Oh, I bet
because,
you can.
Because I wonder. I mean, now, if you mix it up with something, it might smell like you had a drink. And let's face it, well, here's what's not in vogue anymore at any workplace, and that's the three martini lunch. Matter of fact, it's probably bad news to smell of any alcohol coming into any office at this point. But
sure.
I'm wondering how many people would start abusing the alcohol. And however you ingest it, just down it, you know, in a small paper cup, a Dixie cup or something, or God forbid, snort this stuff.
Well, if they have an issue like that, I'm sure your office is fairly apprised that you're an alcoholic already.
I'm just thinking, you have to think about what adults are going to do. Let's think about open container laws. Obviously, open containers of alcohol are illegal in the state of California.
Oh, yeah, so how do you do an open packet?
Alcohol dances right around that. Well, they can't get in there and search and look at, or dig around and look for it.
The scariest thing for me, just going back to teenagers, is that it's easy to swipe, A, so they can get their hands on it. And then B, we've all seen lots and lots of pictures of passed out teens, you know, from their own Facebook pages or whatever. And that's just drinking regular alcohol. So if they can get enough in their stomach to cause them to pass out, they will get there so much more quickly with little packets of powder.
And here's something I want to, Michael, I want to go back to what you mentioned. And you said, what about, we don't know the effects of what will happen when the alcohol, the powdered alcohol, is mixed with other alcohol. I can see adults doing this. So I don't want to drink a 12-pack to get buzzed. So how about I take my alcohol and, as you mentioned, dump it in my beer and double my alcohol intake so I don't have to drink 6 or 10 beers to get buzzed?
Well, you know, over half of all the alcohol consumed in this country by adults and 90% consumed by youth occurs while binge drinking.
That's right.
That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
And this product would, once again, lend itself very nicely to those who are trying to binge drink their way into a heavy-duty buzz or something far worse, because it's going to you know, impact the lives of other people around them, which is what happens when, you know, people who are inebriated get behind the wheel or involve themselves in some other risky behavior.
Yeah.
So it, for that reason also, you know, it's on our hit list, you know.
Well, and one of the things that concerns me, and I'm maybe you know the stat for sure, I'm working off the top of my head now, so correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it true that about 80% of alcohol sales, hardcore alcohol, liquor, are repeat sales to people who have drinking problems?
Well, most Americans who binge drink are not dependent on alcohol.
Okay.
So, you know,
two different departments.
I'm sorry?
Two different things.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of the problems are caused by those who have serious drinking issues, but a lot of the problems are caused by people who just binge drink once or twice a week. And it doesn't take much to
binge. That's your weekend warrior, yeah, that mentality.
You know, five drinks at one setting for a man and 2 to 3 for a woman. You go beyond that in one sitting, you're binge drinking. So how long will it take, you know, mixing alcohol or not knowing what you're mixing alcohol with, not knowing for sure what the alcohol content of the beverage you're mixing up with alcohol is, before you reach that binge drinking level?
Well, let me ask you, play devil's advocate here. So what if the state decides to ban alcohol, which is powdered alcohol, if you're just joining us, and it goes onto the black market where people are buying it undercover and it's not being taxed and it's not being regulated and it's not being looked at to see exactly what's in it. And God only knows what it'll be mixed with. What are the dangers of that?
Well, I don't think it'll happen, first of all. I think it'll just go away, just like a number of other stupid products have gone away, and its place, you know, will be taken by some other stupid product.
I think we're
giving it a lot of credibility by talking about it, you know, and the media that it's generated so far. The guy who invented it couldn't buy this kind of advertising. And that's what's going to, you know, create an interest amongst people of all ages to get their hands on it. But, you know, as with any other stupid product that's been taken off the market, they go away and they're not missed.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, we don't need to increase the danger for youth or for anybody for that matter in terms of giving them a substance that's easy to binge on. Those products go away, others take their place. Maybe sooner or later people understand, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea to imbibe as much alcohol as they do. We're not telling people not to, you know.
It's a whole new spin on alcohol, and I just think that you know, it is certainly as you said, an attention getter. Michael Skipa. Yes,
thanks,
I do appreciate
Michael
it.
My pleasure.
Yes, and you can check him out, Michael, at alcoholjustice.org. And we'll see
it
how
it offends me to my very core as someone who enjoys an adult beverage. Wait, I skip the delicious Manhattan with the cherry at the bottom and shoot powder down my throat?
It's like an Alka-Seltzer.
Thank you.